Well, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you would join me this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. We're going to be talking about this morning when a man loves a woman. I think as we look at the scripture, we're able to see that it's pretty important love is. Amen? And today, I want to share with you. I shared with you last week. We had a Gideon speaker, but over the next 3 weeks, God has given me a message series on love. And today, I want to talk about that love between a man and a woman. I think it's very pertinent that we do that. Friday, I believe, was Valentine's Day. But men, let me share with you, you need to love your wives every single day. You don't need to save it for one day a year and show them a special gift or tell them that you love them just one day a year. It needs to be something that you do every single day. And so this morning, I want to ask a question. How many of you, husbands, wives, how many of you in here, is there anyone who has been married 49 years? Anyone in here been married 49 years to your spouse? I see, stand up for just a second. If you don't mind, I want to ask you to stand up. 49 years, amen. 49 years, amen. All right, well, we've got... Amen. You can sit down. You can sit down because I want to continue on. How many of you have been married more than 50 years? If you've been married more than 50 years, raise your hand. More than 50 years. Wow. Wow. More than 50 years. That's phenomenal. If you've been married, amen. If you've been married more than 60 years or more, let me see your hand. Goodness gracious. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't get enough flowers. More than 60 years. I just want to say praise God for that. What has to happen for you to be able to stay together that length of time is there has to be some give and take. Amen? There has to. There are no perfect relationships. We understand that. And to have been able to stay together for 60 plus years is a blessing. It's a gift from God. And I want to congratulate you with every part of my soul. I just want to say congratulations. I have one more. How many of you have been married 70 years or more? Anyone in here been married 70 years or more? I got most of you on that one. I thought I would. And so, Brad Graves, can I borrow you for just a second, my brother? I know I didn't get with you beforehand, but Max and Vadine Redden, would you stand up for just a moment, please? 70 years, right? They had been married just this past year, 70 years plus. And I just want you, Miss Redden, to have this rose. It's just a gift. It's us acknowledging that union, that where you as husband and wife have stuck together through thick, through thin. And we just want to congratulate you on that. We want you to know that we love you. Wow. So congratulations on 70 years. That's a tremendous blessing. And this morning, that's what I want to talk with you about. When a man loves a woman, I want to share with you, as you look at the Word of God, God has some things to tell us men about how we are supposed to love our wives. And let me share this with you. If you are in the process, men, you're courting a specific lady right now and you think she may be the one, well, I have a challenge for you today through the Word of God. If she is the one, this is how you're supposed to be as a man. And so this really, all of this message, man, I want to tell you, this is geared towards you today because God has called you to be something special in a marriage. And so I want to really approach this for you. But ladies, I don't want to leave you out. And so there's something special for you as well. When a man loves a woman, there are three things specifically that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God. Three things specifically. And so I pray right now that God will begin to burden your hearts about you men being all that you can be for God, for your wives, for your children, because God has a special place in His heart for men who lead well. And so there are three things that I want to share with you this morning. If you would, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Ephesians 5, verses 25 and following. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Will you join me in prayer? Blessed Father, today as we begin studying your word, as we look at the evidence that you have left for us, the example that you have left for us, my prayer is that you would begin to burden our hearts as men, as husbands, as fathers, that we would take your word, that we would apply it to our lives. Father, I pray that if there are husbands here this morning who maybe desire to be obedient to your word in every area, but maybe they've just not completely understood what's going on here. I pray today that they would understand the application of your word as it applies to their lives on how you love the church and how we, in retrospect, are to love our wives as you love the church. And Father, that we would understand all that entails. And so we ask that you would begin to speak to our hearts even now concerning your word. And we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at the scripture, you know we've gone through Ephesians. It's been a couple of years since we've walked our way through Ephesians. And even as we look at God's word, what we begin to understand from Paul's perspective, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he wanted them to continue growing and understanding exactly what God's purpose for them as individuals is. He wanted them to understand what his purpose for the church collectively was and still is today. And then we get to a point in Scripture where he really begins to nail it down and say, hey, let me paint this picture so you really understand what I'm talking about. And so he begins to talk about what the relationship between husband and wife and parents and children look like. And so he paints this picture, and really, it's not a hard picture for you and I to be able to visually see with our eyes or even feel with our hearts. And so we look at the scripture this morning, and I want to back up for just a moment, if you'll allow me to. He's talking about individuals walking in wisdom. As a child of God, he was saying you need to walk in wisdom of the Word of God every single day. You do, as an individual, you are responsible for your relationship with God. Do you have that this morning? Before we take that next step, do you understand your responsibility, that you are accountable as an individual, man, woman, or child, how you respond to His Word and His calling upon your life as an individual? So ultimately, when he talks about this walk, understand that it's how you live your life every single day. Every day when people look at you, whether you desire them to or not, they should see King Jesus living in and through you. And so as an individual, that's God's desire. And so we see that through the scripture. But now we break it down and we see here one of the ways that we're able to do this as individuals and as a church. He says in verse 21 of chapter 5, he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so there needs to be a submission there. And this submission is really a beautiful picture of the overall sacrifice that Christ made to the church. And then in reference to you as individuals and how we're to submit and surrender ourselves ultimately to Him, to King Jesus. And so then he breaks it down even further and he says this is what it looks like in the context of a man and a woman. And he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And so really when you begin to break it down and understand the overall teaching of what God is trying to share with us here, the big picture is it's ultimately about each of us surrendering and submitting ourselves to God first. And so God has to be first in your lives. Ladies, I understand this, that if your husbands aren't loving you the way that they are required to biblically love you, then it's difficult for you to be in submission to them. Amen? And so we've got to be able to see this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Just as Christ, just as the church has submitted herself to Christ, this is how wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. And then it says, here it is, for the husband is head of the wife as also Christ is head of the church. And so we see that big picture. God, ultimately what it is God just has an order to things. That's all. God has an order of things. Now, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to break it down as we talk about the rest of the scripture this morning. And so you're going to really be able to see the big picture, ladies, of what this submission looks like, because it's really not hard when you see the big picture of everything that's going on in the Word of God right here. And so we see that. He goes on and he says this, husbands, love your wives. The first thing that you've got to understand right here is that you must love your wives. Husbands, do you hear me? Love is, there's something special about it, isn't there? This word here is agape. That's the word that Paul uses. You know, there are four different words used for love, Four different words used for love in the scripture. And the word, it's a remarkable thing when you break it down. You begin to look at everything that God desires for you to understand about love when it comes to the church. And so he says right here, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, be unconditionally in love with your wives. This is how God loves the church. We see that as we begin to study his word. But there are three things specifically that I want to share with you men today. As I talk to you women, I want to share with the men. And so, ladies, let me direct this to you for just a second. When a man loves a woman, first of all, ladies, let me hit this for you. When a man loves a woman, first of all, your man is going to follow Christ's example. Do you hear me? Your man is going to follow Christ's example. Ladies, do you get that? If you're in the process of looking for a husband, then he needs to be following Christ's example right now. And we're going to talk about that big picture. But men, do you hear what I'm telling you today? You need to follow Christ's example. And so we look at the scripture this morning, and we see big picture is that Christ loved the church. Amen? Yeah. Christ loves the church. And so husbands, love your wives, and we need to follow Christ's example. It's not a difficult thing, but let me continue on. It's true, men, isn't it, that we really, in our own minds, we think we can do everything? Amen or oh me? Oh me? Come on, talk to me. Oh me? How many of you say it and you've said it thousands of times, hundreds of thousands of times maybe. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none. How many of you have ever said that? You think you can do just a little bit of everything, don't you? Yeah, I saw those hands go up, and a lot of your wives kind of snickered under their breaths. He sure does think he can do it. He sure does cost us more money sometimes when he tries to do this. I know you said that. I've been the same way. I've tried to do things. I know I can do it, Tracy. Just leave me alone. I can do it. I'll give you an example. One time our air conditioner on the van went out before we upgraded to something new. And so the air conditioner went out, and it was out for about a year and a half on the van. Two summers, or one full summer and half of another summer, and I finally got tired of it. It was going to cost $400 just for the compressor, and then I was going to have someone put it on, and I told Tracy, I said, I can do it. I can do it. I want to tell you something. I did it. It only took me 2 weeks for the van to sit in the carport on jack stands for me to be able to get it done. And it was the most difficult thing that I've ever done in my life, but I got it done. Do you know that on a Ford Windstar van, you have to actually unloose for you to be able to get the air compressor out and take the whole radiator out and the radiator support, and then you have to take the fan blades off in order to be able to get that compressor. You can't take it out from the bottom. I thought I can get it out from the bottom. For 3 days, I pulled and twisted and contorted that compressor in such a way that I knew I was going to eventually get it out. But let me paint this picture for you. Men, steel does not move with our own strength. We've got to have a blowtorch, or we've got to have something significant in order to help that steel realize that it just has to give. I didn't have any of those things. So guess who gave? I did. So I finally went and bought a book that walked me. We hate following instructions. We don't do that well, men. Let's just be honest. George Cox, we don't follow instructions well. Matter of fact, let me say this. We're bad at it. As we've discussed before, on a trip, we're lost in the middle of nowhere. Men, do you ever stop and ask for directions without your wife first having said, "Stop and ask for directions"? We just don't want to do it. And so here it is right here. We're master of jack of all trades, but we're master of none. But here it is with God, with His Word, that He really desires that we master something. And we need to master following His example. He's left a good one for us. Amen? He really has. And what we're able to see through the Scripture this morning is that when we follow His example, that everything else gets a little bit easier. Because we have Him to follow. We have His instruction book. Look, right here it is. And this is something that you and I need to be in every single day anyway. Amen? And so, ladies, your men need to be following Christ's example. And let me give you a picture. We're going to continue to paint these because we need to see the big picture of what Christ desires. John chapter 13, verse 15 through 17. This is what God's Word says. It says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you." That's what He says right there in the first part of verse 15. He said, I've given you an example that you should follow. This is what you should do. In other words, what He's saying is, you need to do as I have done. I've left you this example. It's like a math teacher. I was never good at math that had numbers and letters mixed together. I just couldn't really get it done. The problem is, the reason is my fault. I didn't learn all of the basics growing up. I learned just enough to pass the test and then I was ready to move on. But there comes a point where you need to learn more, and so it's important. Listen to me, students. You need to pay attention to all of it right now because it all begins to add together. There's a purpose. You think, why do I need to know this? You need to keep studying. If nothing else, it's for character building. Amen? And so you continue to study it. But I didn't understand. And so the teacher would come and then he would sit down there beside me. Mr. Donovan was his name. He was also the tennis coach. But he came and he sat down beside me and he said, "Now, Brad, you can do this." I remember so vividly how he came and he sat down and he walked me through the steps and he gave me those instructions on how to work, how to do geometry, how to understand these angles and with the numbers thrown in there with it. And here's something phenomenal I began to understand. It's about us following the instructions. We go to the store, we buy shelves or something, and men, the very first thing we do is we look at the instructions and we throw them over to the side. And if we would take those instructions, even if you didn't do anything but look at the pictures, it would help you put the shelf together, amen? And so here it is, instructions are important. And Jesus says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." That's it. That's what He says. And He says this. I love verse 16 and 17. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." So we begin to see that big picture of what Christ is portraying. He says, if you know these things, blessed are you, happy are you if you do them. What What do we need to do? We just need to follow the instructions, men. We need to see the word, and it says right here, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. But there's something specific about this. There's something specific. He said, I need you to love your wives sacrificially. That's it. Do you see it? He said, you love her the way Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He sacrificed. And this is more than just being willing to die for your spouse. How many of you in here right now, be honest with me, if you had an opportunity to save your spouse's life, husbands, how many of you would do that? I know you would. There's no doubt. I understand that. Guys, when you find that lady who you're going to marry and spend the rest of your life with, you're going to be willing to sacrifice for her this way. But to sacrifice, to live your life sacrificially for her is so much more than just being willing to give up your life for hers. Big picture. How many of you are willing to say, when she asks you, you know what? I don't need to watch this football game tonight because my wife has asked me to pull out the word and to have Bible study with her. See, that's sacrifice. How many of you are willing to sacrifice and to hold your spouse's hand when you're out in a crowded room? For some of you, that's sacrifice because that isn't your love language. And so you don't feel like you need to do that in order to show her you love her. But for her, her love language may be physical touch, and she may need you to be affectionate and hold her hand when she's in public. Guess what you need to do, men? You need to hold her hand. It's about sacrificing in the areas of your life that you think are really important to you. Are you willing to give those things up just so you can honor your spouse just as Christ honored the church? He sacrificed everything. He sacrificed his everyday living, his everyday life, so he could live for you. That's what he did. And so as we look at this, is your love for your wife sacrificial? Ladies, your man should follow Christ's example. Let me be very clear in that statement. Men, is your love for your wife sacrificial? See, I can't answer that for you. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your spouse. But the question is it sacrificial? How many of you are willing to say, you know what, I don't need to go on this golf trip because my wife has asked me to spend time with her. I shared with you through our blog, our scroll article this past week, that my wife loves to knit. Now, I've not fallen in love with knitting as far as me picking up the needles and working it. I can't do that, but my wife can make some beautiful creations. She can make purses and hats and scarves and sweaters and skirts and all of these things. And I'm going to tell you, she's made me 3 or 4 pair of socks. She's working on a fourth pair right now. She needs to complete. She's supposed to be working on a fourth pair. I love those socks. They're different. And they're so comfortable and cozy. And when I love something that my wife does, it makes her feel loved by me. One of the things that my wife doesn't really care anything about is football. She doesn't like football. It's not one of her favorite things that she enjoys doing, but I want to tell you what she's done over the years. She understands that that's something that I truly enjoy. And so she allows me to have my time in front of the television, and she does it a lot, Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays. My wife lets me watch football. And sometimes she'll go in the kitchen and she'll make one humdinger of a meal just so I can enjoy the football game. And that's a blessing, isn't it? And so really it's about us living our lives sacrificially for our spouses. Husbands, are you willing to do that? Number two, the next thing that I want to submit to you, because we've got to go on. I have two more things to share with you this morning. Ladies, your man should lead you in the Word. This is the most difficult thing that we do as men. As we follow Christ's example, understand, this is where we are. First of all, we're following Christ's example. But the next thing is we've got to be willing to lead our spouses, lead our wives in the Word. It's important that we be able to do that. God calls us to do that. Men, God has called you to lead and to lead well. So you've got to be willing to lead your wife in the Word of God. I'm telling you. There's something special about you saying, you know what, this is what I'm going to do with my family. This is what I'm going to do with my wife. And so we sit down at the dinner table after we've eaten supper or maybe somebody's still eating and we get the Word of God and we take turns around our table who's going to have the next Bible study. And I want to tell you, this isn't something that we've always done, but it's something that we do and it's special and it's allowing our family to grow closer together. And so last night was Ty's turn, and his choice was we have a devotional book that we have that someone gave to us as a tremendous blessing, and he opened it up to yesterday, and it was the 23rd Psalm, which is the crowning jewel of the Word of God. And it's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of how Christ loves the church and how Christ wants to lead us and tend to our every need and take care of us. And that's the picture. And we were able to see that through the Scripture. Turn with me to Psalms 23 real quick. Let me just hit this. I just want to do this quickly. If you can pull Psalm 23 up for the big screen, it'd be a blessing this morning. Listen to it. This is the picture. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I just want to hit the first two or three verses. But listen. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And he leads me beside still waters. It's something about being led. Husbands, we need to lead our wives in the Word of God. Do you hear me? Sometimes this is just an uh-oh in our lives. This is one of those places where we don't do well. But here's what the Word of God says. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd tends to the flock. And then ultimately what we see right here is he says that you're not going to be in need. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. Ultimately, this is what the shepherd does. And as the shepherd, men, listen to me. You are the shepherd of your families individually. You are to lead your spouses. You are to lead your children. You are responsible for that. And so I'm telling you, this is what God's Word tells us. And we can't shy away from God's Word. We've got to take it on. And so you've got to understand what God requires of you. We see this right here. Turn to Luke chapter 11, or it'll be on the screen. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. This is what the Lord said as we lead him. A lot of different examples as we follow Christ's example. A lot of different areas of life that he leads us. And so this is what the Scripture says. Now it came to pass, there was a time, it came time for this to happen. As he was praying in a certain place. So here it is that Christ is praying in a certain place. And I love to see these moments, these snapshots through God's Word where we see Christ praying. Because you and I are supposed to follow Christ's example. Amen? Scripture says that he got up early in the morning and he went and prayed. Scripture tells us that late in the evening he would go pray. The picture is that he spent time with our Father in heaven. Communicating. You and I, if we're going to follow his example, men, we've got to do that. And if we're going to lead our families well, we really have to spend time communicating with God. And so the picture is this. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. It was a question that one of the disciples asked. It was really more than a question, Lord, will you teach us to pray? But it was a statement, a confidence in God's ability to teach them. And so the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples understood that Christ knew how to teach them. They had walked with him. They had heard his sermons. And they had seen his miracles. They understood his ability better than they understood their own. And so here it is. It said, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say. And then he taught them, he said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's the prayer. We learn this when we're children. But the big picture is that the responding as a disciple to the master teacher who said, teach us how. Men, it's about leading your wives in the Word of God. In the New Testament, Jesus quotes the Old Testament. He quotes 24 different books in the Old Testament. Jesus does. In the New Testament, Jesus quotes the Old Testament from 24 different books. Deuteronomy is the most that he quotes from. But let me give you this picture. 49 times in the New Testament, Jesus quotes Scripture from the Old Testament. 49 times he quotes different Scripture. Let me rephrase that, because some of the Scripture he uses 3 or 4 different times concerning the same Scripture. But 49 different quotes of Old Testament Scripture he uses when he's teaching. So let me ask you, what is Christ doing when he quotes to them Old Testament Scripture? He's teaching them the Word. Isn't that beautiful? And so here's what God's Word tells us right here. It says that we need to love our wives just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for us, that verse 26 through 28, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So here's the big picture. We've got to see this and understand this. Men, listen to me. You and I need to lead our wives in the Word of God so she can become everything God intends her to be. Do you hear me? So that she can become everything God intends for her to be. You lead your wives in His Word. It's a beautiful picture. Listen to it. Listen to me, men. It says this, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her. To sanctify means that she might be set apart unto God. That she might be set apart unto God. Do you hear that? When you lead her in the Word, its purpose is that your spouse might be set apart, might be set apart from this world, but to God. I love that. That's the reason we need to lead our spouses in the Word. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her. And then it goes on. It says at the end right here, verse 27, that she may be holy and without blemish. That's what the cleansing is all about, the forgiveness of sin, the washing of the Word of God. When you teach your spouse, we would not teach them, but you let God teach them. You just lead them. It's your responsibility to lead your families. And so you lead them into the Word of God in such a way that God convicts of sin, that God takes hearts and changes them, that you're no longer living in the world and for the world, but now you are sanctified and set apart unto God. Do you hear me? Big picture, men, is this is your responsibility. And so I need you to know that. You want to talk about when a man loves a woman, this is how he loves her. This is unconditional. This is God's expectation for you as a man who loves a woman, because this is how Christ loved the church. That's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. I hope you're able to see that this morning. Don't just think that I'm beating you up, man. I'm not. I'm trying to lead you in the Word so that you can lead in the Word. And then we move on. And so here is the purpose, so that she can be sanctified, holy, blameless, and without spot. And it's a sad fact that sometimes our wives are the ones that have to motivate us to do what God calls us to do. And ladies, I want to tell you, thumbs up for you who do that. thumbs up for you. I don't know what we would do without our women loving us the way they do. And men, our ladies deserve more from us. And we just need to be obedient to God and to His Word. And so, is your love sanctifying? Men, is your love sanctifying? The last thing that I submit to you, and we're going to do this quickly this morning, is, ladies, your man should never mistreat you. Can I get an amen? Your ladies should never mistreat you. Why are we so quiet this morning? Your men should never mistreat you. I want to talk to you just for a second. There are a lot of ways that we can mistreat people in this world, isn't there? A lot of, it's not all physical. There's a lot of different ways. And so we understand, big picture is that it can be physical, it can be mental, it can be sexual, but the most common is verbal. Just beating her up verbally. And we're not to do that, but as we lead them, we're following Christ's example and we're leading them in the Word, then you understand that we're not going to mistreat them, are we? Nope, we're not going to. Here's what God's Word tells us, because, you know, it has to come from Him. Amen? And so verse 28 through 33, it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives. That's good, wasn't it? Did you catch it? Husbands ought to love their own wives. You don't need to be loving someone else's wife. You need to love the wife God has given you. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined together with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then he says this is a great mystery. We don't really understand the full scope of what's going on when God tells us through his Word that a man should leave his father and mother and be joined together to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. How in the world does it happen for us to become one flesh? And so he says it's a mystery. Ultimately, what you need to understand is how you're supposed to love your spouse. It says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Do you hear what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus? Do you hear what God is telling us, men? He says, nevertheless, forgetting all of that, you need to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love her that way. That's a deep love. Amen. That's a hard love. Amen. That's a continuous love. It's an unconditional love. That's how we are to love. And so we never mistreat it. This is what the Word says. Listen, how many of you go home and you just slap yourself in the face? Do you ever do that, men? Do you ever go home and slap yourself in the face? I don't like the way you look. Or you look at yourself in the mirror and you just blast yourself out. You're just an absolute idiot. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Do you do that to yourself? No. Even when you mess up, you say, you can do better. This is what you tell yourself. It's a pep talk. Why did you do that? You knew better than to do that. That's how we handle the situation, isn't it, men? Sometimes we do. I can't, my legs are too fat to kick myself. But sometimes we need a good kicking. And so the Scripture tells us, John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this. Lay down his life for a friend. As we look at the Word, we're beginning to see is this, it all comes together and we're understanding better what Christ expects of us as husbands. This is the month of love that media and holiday says. But God loves the church every single day. God loves you every single day. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're not married. Maybe, men, you're dating a lady and you think maybe she's the one, or maybe you're in pursuit of a lady that you think God desires for you to spend the rest of your life with. And if that's the case, then let me share with you. Listen to me. This is for you. You're here this morning, ladies, you're looking for a man. Maybe you're a young girl and you're looking for someone to love you. If he can't love you the way God loves you and God commands him to love you, then you move on to the next one, ladies, because he's not the right one. And so God has an order to things. This is what God expects. And if you're in a relationship, listen to me. Ladies, if you're in a relationship right now and your husband's not doing this, then you lead him so that he can understand and know how to begin doing this. You don't just cast him out just for the sake of casting him out so that you can go look for a new one. Same thing with you husbands. That's not how it works in God's economy. And so how you need to approach it is, how can I get better for my family? How can I get better for my wife? Ladies, how can I help my husband get better so he can lead his family the way God's word tells him? And I believe when we do that, friends, listen to me. I believe when we are obedient to lead our spouses, to lead our children, to lead our families the way God tells us, then literally, just as I've said before, when we really get on fire for God and we're living for him, then we can charge hell with a water pistol. Same thing is true with your marriages. There's some in here who said 49, 50, 55, 60, 70 years plus. I'm going to tell you, you know why they were able to stay together that length of time? Because God was the tie that binds. In your relationships, friends, is God the tie that binds? And if not, my prayer is that he becomes that tie that holds your marriages together, those relationships together. Students, adults, if you're in the process of courting or you're looking, you make sure that that young man that you're dating knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You make sure, ladies, that he understands the value of God's word and what God says. Do you hear me, young men? I'm talking to you. Adults in here that might be looking, this is for you. You, if you will lead the way God says, then submission for your wives never becomes an issue. Amen? So here's the conclusion of the text. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Men, I promise you, if you'll lead God's way, she'll love and respect you God's way. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today, as we come before your throne of grace and prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, we thank you for your word and its power. We thank you for communicating to us and for speaking and convicting us through your spirit. Thank you, God, for being present with us today. Father, I know when it comes to relationships, we don't want anyone telling us how we're supposed to do it. But blessed Father, I pray that they would get it. I pray that these young men would get how to pursue a young woman. I pray that husbands would learn how to lead their wives. I pray that young ladies would learn what a man is supposed to do and how he's supposed to act towards her. And Father, that a wife would know that same thing. And Father, that you would help us love as you love us, that it would truly be sacrificial. And Father, today I pray that even though this wasn't a salvific message, that if a young man is here this morning or an adult man, if they've never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, then they'll never understand how exactly they're supposed to give their life for their family, for their spouse. And so first of all, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that you would begin to convict those who might not know you as Lord and Savior. today, Father, that it might become the day of salvation for that young man or for that adult man or for that young lady or for that grown lady. That today would be the day that they trust Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And Father, that today you would burden their hearts to accept the gift of salvation by confessing their sins and acknowledging you, King Jesus, to be alive and well and raised from the dead and invite you to be their Lord and their Savior. And so, Father, today we just ask that you would move. I don't know what decisions need to be made, but Father, today that you would move us in Jesus' name. Would you stand this morning? Invitation time. And I don't know what God is calling you to do. I don't know how God is calling you to respond. But if God has spoken to you anyway, maybe you just need to come pray. Will you come and do that this morning? You come today.